So I just spent the last maybe 7 hours with General Umbarger and DNR Director Carter. And we've been to Worthington, two or three sites in the Edwardsport, Freelandville area. Been to Vincennes and Hazleton. Overflew Elnora this morning and again on the way back. And once again, my observations are that work is proceeding effectively and cooperatively. We did not identify, with the exception of the continuing need for water in Knox, parts of Knox County, we did not identify any shortages or gaps. Taking preventive or protective action downstream places now. Visited with my old friend from past events, Chief Mike Ellis, down in Hazleton, and walked the levee down there. It's in very good shape right now. But the guard is doing such excellent work building sandbags ahead that we've encouraged places like that to err on the side of caution, maybe do a little bit of extra sandbagging. Elnora, I'm advised that the last 40-odd people are being encouraged to evacuate in the interest of complete safety, and that DNR has the lead on helping most of those people move out. The situation there, again from the air, no breaches and some space between the water and the top of the levee, but folks on the ground say there is seepage between the sandbags and that the water pressure is still increasing as opposed to decreasing. So we have a very touch-and-go situation there, but everything that can be done has been done. A lot of agricultural damage, a lot of that, and that's a shame because Indiana farmers who aren't hitting this way are en route probably one of their best years in history, and that's a really good thing for the state and for our small towns. But in the places that have really been inundated here, there's going to be some folks we believe that will not get replanted, and others who will not enjoy the sorts of yields and income they otherwise would have. Rob or Marty, I'll leave anything important?
That's right.
Those are the highlights that you wouldn't have seen from our written reports.
Governor, one of the things from National Weather Service today was that the levee had breached Plainville in mm-hmm. County, although it did not believe any towns were threatened.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
That's the same understanding we have, and it's a purely it's an agricultural area. You'd probably have to. We went right over it, coming and going, and I guess you'd have to have a better eye than the general and Rob and I have. It's the area in general is inundated, and part of that, I suppose, could be from this breach, but that simply aggravates a problem we had already, which is lots and lots of great agricultural land underwater.
Ball State University today released a study estimating damage at $126 million. I wonder if you think that's in the ballpark of what we're talking about, or do you have a better idea?
Sorry, I don't know. I know they got a model up there that apparently has been refined over time, and that's a good operation. So that's probably as good a number as we've got right now, but I can't vouch.
I heard from a geologist today that the next areas that you're looking at are concerned. Petersburg and the White River and the Walrus River in the areas of Riverton and New Harmony. Is that right?
Sure, that's where the water goes. Folks we talked to, we didn't go to Petersburg today, but folks we talked to at Hazleton, as I recall it was, had just been there, and they said they thought they looked pretty good. Here are two things I can tell you. In contrast to 05, and some other events, we have one thing working for us. The Ohio is not river is not at flood levels, and therefore it's easier for Indiana to drain into it. In 05, the Ohio was very, very high, and water didn't have anywhere to go, and so it backed up, and it made the problems at New Harmony and Hazleton and Petersburg and places like that worse than they would have been. So the experts that we're talking to, and in this case it includes people like Chief Ellis down in Hazleton, who's been through this a few times, believe that that's helping. The other thing I can tell you about Hazleton is that this is the town the Guard saved, literally, in 05. And the chief showed me many places where they strengthened nine places where their levee had nearly ruptured before, put in a floodgate, and took some other steps, which means they're in better shape to handle an event than they were back then. So let's just hope that that's a general case.
The update that the Department of Homeland Security put out earlier mentioned that the number of local disaster declarations is now 30, that Marion County has been added. Will you be adding them to the state declaration as well?
Sure, the answer is yes, but I've been doing sandbagging and roadwork, not paperwork. Joe, you want to tell them about the paperwork aspect?
We're working closely. If you remember, initially we started out with 41 counties affected from the initial storms, and we're addressing this as one event. So all those counties eventually will be working through our process to attempt to get added to the declarations if they qualify, as the damage assessment proves out.
I think I mentioned yesterday when I spoke to the FEMA Director Paulison on Sunday night, as he was moving the presidential declaration through, he told me that the combination of approvals we were going to receive would give him the authority, I think the president's in Europe, but anyway, would give him the authority to add counties as more data came in. And he told me it would be very straightforward, and I think that's been the case so far.
Governor, are there any plans to bring in any trailers to help victims?
Well, if they need shelter, we'll find it one way or another. The number of people who've been seeking shelter has been declining, as you know. So I don't think we have a widespread problem of that kind, but if we do, we'll meet it.
Governor, the spokesperson for FEMA today was careful to draw a distinction that what the president has granted thus far is public assistance as part of the disaster designation, but individual assistance would follow at some later date if at all. That's a separate decision.
Yeah.
Did you get any indication from Director Paulison that approval or that request would be?
I wouldn't ask him to make any premature judgment, but and by the way, Secretary Chertoff been trying to reach me. We almost connected before I came in here. If there's anything further, I'll let you know. I'll go out personally on this limb and say it'd be astonishing to me if we did not qualify for each form of assistance, just given the immensity of the event and the I don't know what the number is, whether the Ball State number is a accurate or high or low, but it's going to be a very big number, and my accumulating experience with this tells me we're probably going to qualify in each respect.
I'm sorry, Governor, can you explain again the Hazleton situation? I mean, the Plainville levee?
It's in a very agricultural area. Plainville is in Davies County. It's a little bit downstream. The town itself actually sits, I believe, at some distance. What there is of a town sits at some distance from the river. But apparently there is a levee along the river. The Coast Guard believes they spotted from the air a breach in it. I would just tell you that with or without that breach, we got a lot of farmland underwater down there. This probably, whatever breach this is, probably just aggravated that situation.
In addition to the federal disaster declaration that makes federal aid available, is there other state aid available, or will it be all coming from the federal government for agriculture loans, small business loans, home repairs, that kind of thing?
We'll do a ton of highway work. Obviously, the state is spending lots of money right this minute, and we will, on remediation of public damage. We started a small fund, as we discussed yesterday, a couple years ago, as a last resort in case federal and private assistance doesn't meet individual needs. And we could call that into play if needed at the end.
You talked to a woman down in Edwardsport today, whose home is inundated.
I talked to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Porters, yes. We walked around sort of the outskirts of Edwardsport with them, saw them and a lot of their neighbors.
And I wondered, because afterward, after talking to you, she said, we now have hope. And I wondered what you said to her that gave her that hope.
I have no idea. But I said what I said to what I say to each such person. First, I want to ascertain, are they all right? And is there anything they need that we could do immediately to make sure they're safe or they're well fed? Obviously, I empathize, as anybody would, with their situation. And if they have any questions that I feel competent to answer, I do. What I tell them all is we're going to get them all the help we can as fast as we can. And I guess we had that kind of conversation.
Since you visited the power plant at Edwards,
yeah.
What was the reason for that? Is that?
Well, it's got water in the basement, and they've shut it down, and they may well need to shut it down for an extended period. They were pumping out the facility as we were there, and sandbagging as water continues to encroach.
What does shutting it down mean for the people who live down there? Are they out without power now in their home?
No, I talked to Larry, the plant manager. Someone will have to help me with his last name. At some length, no. Duke Energy's got plenty of other sources of power, so they'll. When we were there, they were still hoping that it would be a very temporary outage. But by the time I got back, sounds like it may be a little longer. He said if they had significant water in the basement portion of the facility, they'd probably have to take it out of service for a good while. But no, I asked him that very question. He said, no, everybody will have power unless there's been some kind of transmission problem, and so far we don't have those.
So that plant's open or not?
No, it's not. It's not producing electricity right now, and it may be out of service for a while.
Okay, but there is power coming into the town.
Absolutely, you know.
What about you mentioned the water situation in Knox County. Is this something that I'm getting calls from the public, you know, wanting to send cases of water down.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of care they need, or is this much more massive where you do need these water buffaloes?
Well, everywhere we went, we asked water, particularly in Knox. We were at North Knox High School, where the command post is, and they felt they had ample supplies right now, but we'll take no chances, and we don't know how long this will go. But the issue in much of that part of the area is that they think wells may have been contaminated by flood water, and flood water could have a bacteria in it or that sort of thing. So in the interest of safety, they've urged people not to drink unboiled water from their own well, and that's why we're taking it in other forms.
One of the hydrologists I talked to, the one I mentioned before, also said that last night's rains and yesterday's rains, he didn't really expect that to exacerbate things that much more.
I didn't hear anybody say to the contrary. Is that consistent with our general impression, Joe?
I think the only places we were watching was in the East Fork of the White River. Seemed to have, the crest levels seemed to be a little higher than what the earlier projections were.
And what general areas are those?
Around in Martin County was one of the places we were watching.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be the same everywhere. In Hazleton, right now, they've been told to expect maybe 28 feet, 29 feet. They had 31 in 05. On the other hand, in Worthington, I talked to a gentleman, elderly gentleman, he's lived there a half a century, and knew people who went back further. In Worthington, they say this is bigger than 1913. They're talking 1875 as the last one that went up as high as this.
Did they know how high it went up in 1875?
Too darn high. I don't know.
Governor, in light of the impact on agricultural land and businesses and the tax revenue that they would have generated, in light of the outlay of state resources to deal with flooding, is there any projection as to what the impact is going to be on the state budget?
Oh, Brian, I don't know. We're not really worried about that right now. Fortunately, we're in position to manage it. We, as you know, have a $1 billion surplus, and we expect to be adding to that this year rather significantly. We've got 20 days to go in the fiscal year, and then we'll know for sure. So it won't be positive, but that's why you're careful about your spending, and that's why you build a little reserve. And let's just be glad we're in the shape we're in and not way in debt like all our neighbors.
Is Worthington still surrounded?
Yes. 231 and 67 were both closed.
You can't get in.
It's the Isle of Worthington right now. But some folks there told me they thought that was kind of glamorous.
And it also says you visited a high school in Vincennes. Was that where a shelter was set up or where the
Let's see. Well, in Vincennes, actually, that's where the that's where the guardsmen who are doing the sandbag work are billeting and getting a little getting their food and getting a little rest. It's down the road from the NDOT garage, which is where we run that situation, the sort of the assembly line for sandbags. And we just went by there and thanked the men and women who've been working so hard.
Perhaps you've covered this earlier today, but we're going to have a lot of calls from Columbus. Mm-hmm. People asking, when is FEMA going to come? People looking for individual assistance. Do you have any idea? Or is that?
Well, soon, as we covered here, you have to tally the damages to qualify. We're moving already on that, and whatever the record is for prompt filing in an event this size, we'll try to break it. And I'll just tell you that the folks from FEMA who are represented here, and I've been hearing from them, and again, I'll be talking to their superior, Secretary Chertoff, here in a few minutes, all over this issue. So the answer is as fast as possible.
Governor, from a homeowner's perspective, what do they have to do, or what channels do they have to do to access the aid?
Now, there's an individual application. And it can be made online, I'm told, and it can be made at a central phone number. It's our intention to establish information centers in each hard-hit area. My objective, and the request I've made to all these folks, is to try to make certain that this is as user-friendly as it can be, and that because we will have people who need aid or have questions of more than one kind. And we're going to try our best to make it one-stop shopping so they don't have to move from place to place or agency to agency. And a lot of hard work's going into that right now. And the FEMA folks have been very cooperative. I only praise for their efforts so far.
Yesterday, we were told there were 1,046 National Guard. I wonder if you have an idea of the number today.
A little over 1,100. We were down with General Harris. Wasn't it at who's the commander on scene down there? And it's between 1,100 and 1,200 at this moment.
Does anybody have any idea of the number of sandbags that have been put out?
Probably a 6-digit number. Now I don't know how many are in place, but the I've learned today. I've improved my understanding of the mathematics of sandbags a lot. As usual, full of questions about how many we can make and how many it takes to cover a given area. We appear to be very well provisioned between inventory that had been built in preparation and the fast work of the Guard and our inmates and others who participated. If we're going to have a problem, it's not likely to be an inadequate number of sandbags. Yeah, I think so. Wasn't that one way in which some of our DOC guests, quite a large number of them.
Do they come out and do this, or do they do this
in their cells? No, we can bring them out.
Them out.
No, I'm just kidding. a little fresh air, a little hard work. You know, very sincerely, I got this question from someone out there today who had noticed this, and by the way, it is not unusual year in, year out. We have them helping keep roadways cleaner and cut grass and do things like this. It's part of a program to give them something useful to do. And you hope in a case like this, this may be naive, but you hope that some of these folks feel that they did something socially useful and something they can take a little bit of pride in. They ought to feel pride because they helped some people.
You know which prison facility is the use
of? Honestly, I don't. We'll get you that answer, Brian. Interesting question. Not that I've heard of, but we'll ask and see if anybody has. Obviously, we've got a few rail lines which are washed out, but I've not heard that.
The weather service today says forecast is dry, and the next chance is not until Friday. So when can we say the immediate danger here is over?
You're not going to hear that out of us for quite some time. As long as we got high standing water, we've got risks, and again, whether they're public health risks or the risk that someone will take a chance they shouldn't have taken, and so everybody tells me that 3 days of dry is going to make a lot of positive difference, but we will still be, I'm sure, holding our breath and concerned for people come Friday.
So just to follow up, is the National Guard currently engaging in sandbagging at Elmora right now, or have they moved on?
I think the answer is that they're not at this time. Elmora is as sandbagged as anybody thought was going to make sense, and it's either going to hold or it's not. And it was late last night, I believe, Joe, when the decision was made by DHS and all the other agencies to transfer operations downstream, start working ahead of the problem. And all I can tell you is that it's held for now. But when you see Elmora, you'll see it's a long, long, long perimeter, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of bright white sandbags there. For the moment, protecting and saving that town. All right, we'll have more for you as we have it. Thank you.